We will call the meeting of the Public Works Committee for Wednesday, September 14th, 2022, 5:30 p.m. Do I have a motion to adopt and or modify the agenda?
I do.
Is that to adopt?
Yes.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
It's going to be an easy one tonight.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All right, second on the agenda, you'll find copies of the minutes from last time, which are quite brief. So I would accept a motion to approve those.
So moved.
A second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All right. Announcements. I guess I'll defer to Sean.
Sure. Earlier this year, we in the street department, we had two retirements, Jim Sigelski, street foreman, and Joe Frisbee. His title was heavy equipment operator. Because of that, we created some opportunity within and outside to hire a special equipment operator. So just recently we've filled one of the vacancies. Michael Mincheski has filled the position, and his first week was this week, and we're excited to have him. Prior to working for the village, he had drove truck for Triangle Distributing and Great American Disposal. Just recently, though, he had worked as a lead on a grounds maintenance crew at a local college, so we're excited to have him on board. Announcement B, water main flushing. This month, we're out flushing our water main. If you happen to be in that area, if you witness discoloration in your water, that's not uncommon. Run your tap water for a couple minutes, and that will clear up. Announcement C, Central Brown County Water Authority will be holding a budget hearing to review their 2023 budget. That will be held on September 28th at 3 o'clock. If you're interested in your water rate, I would encourage you to attend that meeting. The village purchases bulk water from Central Brown County Water Authority.
All righty. Any other announcements from the committee? Hearing none, we'll move on to item number four, public appearances. Have we received any communication or anything? And no one is here to appear. So we will move on to old business. Number five, discussion action regarding private collecting and hauling of garbage and recyclables. Back to Sean.
Scroll down to that item. So in your packets, I had provided a write-up. In addition to that, I had provided a cost comparison, which I've provided you with an updated version of that. On the top, it should say 7 year. We had looked at a couple different options of a 7 year contract, cost comparison, and a 5 year contract cost comparison. With the recent retirements, as mentioned earlier, street foreman and heavy equipment operator, along with the age of our equipment, garbage and recycling trucks, we own three, are at the end of their service life. We had come to this committee and to the village board earlier this year asking to prepare a RFP to take the first step in this process to potentially entertain bid pricing for the contracting of garbage and recycling services. So we had done that. We had put together, worked with Brad, Daryl in this street department, who happens to be the mechanic now, Hannah, billing clerk. We worked together to prepare a draft RFP. From that, then we took that. I took that content. Thank you. And I had sent it out to a couple of contractors, Harders and Waste Management. I made it clear to them that any information that they were to provide us would be shared with committee and village board, and it asked to keep it, you know, keep their estimates pretty vague, but ask for some information so that we could potentially maybe move ahead with the contracting out of this service. So we had received information back from both.
So it's like an RFI? Like
yeah, more so RFI. If you,
I mean, that's, they didn't give you a nothing proposal that you can sign and accept. It was just a, what would this look like?
We called it a draft request for a proposal, and it's included in your packet. We went through the process of putting pulling the information together, so we have had that to provide the contractors to get rough cost estimates from them. So in that process, when I reached out to Harders, and I had also talked to some of our neighboring communities of similar size, they had provided us with their combined contracted cost per household per month for that service, and that's provided in the spreadsheet that I handed out tonight. Currently, Bellevue, Howard, Suamico, and the town of Ledgeview both contract with Harders to provide the service. So with that information that, and knowing what our annual cost is to go out and collect and haul garbage, put together a spreadsheet to compare the cost. I had, not knowing at the time what the inflation may be, I had assumed a 2.5% CPI, and I had applied that for those years after 2022. In Alloway, our conditions are similar to Howard. We're fairly dense, and so is Howard. You know, we may be even more dense than Howard. When I had talked to Harders, they had indicated that our costs would be probably similar to theirs. And they currently pay $6.28 per household per month. In Howard, there are 63 residential units, dwelling units. In Alloway, we have plus or minus 5,300 residential dwelling units. I was able to come up with an annual cost. Added to that was CPI. And if you look at the columns, if you look at looking at the spreadsheet, I can bring it up on the screen here. In 2021, I had determined what our annual cost was, and I added the CPI increase to come up with the cost in 2022, and then from there I came up with the resulting cost for the other years for a 7-year contract. Now, Harders offers you know, you don't have to necessarily, if we were to move ahead with this, you know, you can contract with them on a 3-year basis, on a 5-year basis, on a 7-year basis. I just use 7 years because it somewhat coincides with the life of a garbage truck. The life of a garbage truck, because of the wear and tear, is anywhere between 7 and 9 years. So, Our annual cost projected to the end of 2028 is roughly $3.5 million. If we were to move ahead and we were to contract out garbage and recycling services, assuming that we would get a rate similar to that of Howard, our cost would be just slightly over $3 million. If you do the math, that's about over a 7-year period, that's about a $500,000 savings. If our contract cost comes in higher than what I was told, let's just say $7 per household per month, over a 7-year period, you're looking at $3.4 million. And the resulting cost difference is $110,000. If I did the math right, 3.4.
And you don't need to replace a truck. on top of
that? That's already built into our cost.
Oh, that is?
Yeah, I'm sorry. That cost would be $175. Yeah, I'm looking at the wrong spreadsheet. But so there is significant savings. I live in Bellevue, and I put my garbage cans out on a weekly basis, and I've never had an issue with hoarders. I've had to track them down one time because I got my cans out late. They had no problem coming back. I've talked to the other communities. They've never had an issue with hoarders either. I guess there's a savings that could exist, and we are presenting this to you to give us some direction of whether or not you'd like us to take the next step. This process probably involves multiple steps. The first one we've just completed. We went ahead and put together a draft RFP, and we put together some cost information. The next step in this process may be to go out with a formal RFP to get the actual numbers, and at that time then come back and make a decision on whether or not we want to proceed with this service. I will tell you that because of our current position with retirements and the age of our trucks, if we were to elect to go ahead with the service, we would be no further ahead or behind in the future if we were to elect to go back to providing the service in-house. We would have to hire two operators. Actually, we just filled a position. We'd have to right now hire one, but we know of another retirement in the near future. We've had an operator come to us and has told us that they're going to retire in the near future. Now, how soon? I would say within a year, if not a little bit sooner. But we have to purchase trucks, and we've been told that we have to purchase three trucks. In all honesty.
And we currently own three?
We own three, yeah.
Is this factored in the
yes.
what we'd be getting by selling those?
The equipment replacement cost is included in these numbers.
Right, but if we go with a service, are we selling the current trucks
yes,
that we own?
Yes,
and is
well,
that baked in here too or no? Or we repurpose them for something else?
We would repurpose at a minimum one, if not two, in the future as leaf trucks, as we would retire those existing chassis.
Okay.
So, we have been told that if we were to make a purchase today for a garbage truck, we'd likely not see that truck until the middle of 2024. So there's a sense of urgency that we have to keep this process moving along. We need to make a decision on this.
How much lead time would hoarders have if we were to say yeah.
They, not, you go ahead.
I was just going to say, we don't know which company it would be.
Right,
that
was just an example.
It's an example.
Because they would have to staff up a little bit and get some more equipment.
I called them and talked to them about that. They have well over 100 trucks. They run between, I want to say Wausau, down to, I think it's Sheboygan. They have an office in Wittenberg, and they have one either in Sheboygan or Fond du Lac. But I was told that they serve a large majority of the communities on 29 between Wausau and Green Bay, and from Green Bay south either on 41 or on 43 to Sheboygan or Fond du Lac. That's their area.
Howard or Swamico ever run their own trash service, or have they always?
I don't know.
I think Howard did at one point.
Did they happen to say, "Yeah, it was a good decision. We're glad we went with a"?
I kind of defer that to Sean. Their experience has been, and I think it's been positive.
It has been positive. Yeah.
I'm just trying to think of what the negative is here.
They had actually when they went out for with their. RFP, they jointly bid that with Swamico. And just through discussions with Harders, he was just brainstorming that, you know, that we have, you know, we currently operate four routes, pick up garbage Monday through Thursday, and he was just thinking out loud, if we were to move ahead with Alloy, then, you know, they have availability in the area, they would pull an operator from here to fill in when need be. He was throwing things out there that, you know, that they, it appeared that they had the availability, they have the trucks.
I think aside from your time and your staff time, I don't see the downfall or the reason not to do this. And actually, it's like due diligence. And especially since there's a retirement opportunity, you wouldn't be laying anyone off for anything.
Correct.
I think we need to do the comparison and either say this may work or this is not a good idea.
And the other thing, I know that some questions have come up in the past about staffing. I had recently just sat down with Bob, the new street foreman, and through some input from him, I had prepared two spreadsheets. You know, our seasons in the street department are winter, and I'll call it the construction season, or the summer months. And through that discussion and just laying out what we do in the winter and what we do in the summer, we could go from 11 to 9. You know, currently we utilize three operators, but that third one gets involved every other week when we pick up recyclables. It will work. How do we know if we don't try?
And there's no commitment except for your time to go through the process. You know, if you get all the proposals and it's like, nope, okay.
So is that what we're checked for today? Just
I think so.
Support in proceeding with getting proposals,
yes.
And plan.
Yep.
I would make that motion.
Second. Is that a second?
Mm-hmm. Any further discussion on that?
I've got a question. Sure. The 2.5% or any number, whatever that number is that going to impact your Harders more than it impacts the village? I mean, you're kind of set. You got the equipment. I guess what I'm saying is it's not 2.5 if it's 8. You know, 8%. Is it going to be written into the contract that their prices automatically go up?
We usually have, when we do them, we'll say we'll do a 3-year contract, and then, you know, we'll ask them for the 3-year price, and then percent increase per year from years whatever through whatever, and it'll all be on there so you can compare everything.
But they did say
again if they do that, but they might base it on.
In the RFP, you can ask them for whatever.
Well, that's kind of why I'm asking.
I had talked to them about the any fuel surcharges, and they would have that in their contract in the event that we saw, you know, the diesel fuel cost go through the roof, or I think they even had some trucks.
But a fuel, I don't think fuel is an issue because it's going to cost you the same, it's going to cost them.
Yep,
I'm talking about, is there going to be anything in the contract that says because this is the rate, national rate, like the county does on solid waste stuff, is it going to impact them more than
it,
you,
it,
even though it's going to impact you overall?
It may impact us a little more than them on the standpoint of they have trucks that they probably could utilize an Alloy, existing trucks, where we're going to have to, if we continue with a service in the near future, we need to go and purchase three.
Right. That about 500 each, was it?
300,000. That was a couple months ago. I don't even know what the cost is now.
Which we've also discovered, if we don't have a delivery date until the middle of 2024,
right,
they can also jack up the prices before it actually gets delivered.
The surcharges, you definitely get
so,
surcharges.
I don't see downside.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure we know that, but the second question is you have special pickups, bulk items,
yeah,
a brush. Are you going to still do that? Or
that's separate now, anyways.
But I mean, the village is going
to
still do that.
I think that, you know, we need to bring that item back and talk about that a little bit more.
Okay.
Because in this process of, you know, looking at, you know, our staffing, and, you know, through discussions with other communities don't offer the services that we provide with bulk and brush. You know, we should consider, I wouldn't say stop with those services, but trimming back a little bit. Right now, we go out and pick up brush 8 times a year, bulk 10. And there are times where we run around the village and we pick up a rug here and we drive for a while, we don't pick up anything. And when we pick up brush, somebody will put out a twig or a small pile. And it just, they don't understand. They feel it's a free service. They have to take advantage of it. But it's not free. Right. We're driving around burning fuel and we're spending time. Where a resident in Alloy would be better served by fewer trips, fewer times going out to pick up bulk and brush, something a little bit closer to maybe 4 or 6 times a year.
I completely agree personally, just from living here. I mean, it comes up all the time, and I'm like, oh my God.
We should bring that back.
Okay.
Yeah, and I only wondered whether it was part of the harders. I understand.
No, you know, it can be. Yeah, it could be. Power is, was it Swamacore? Or was it Town of Lenchby or Bellevue? They didn't indicate that, you know, that they offer that service at a cost. You just have to notify them the week before you want anything picked up, and they'll pick it up at a cost. And maybe that makes sense.
You know, when this came up in the minutes in the spring, some emails were bouncing around, you know, based on lack of information other than that we were going to do this. You know, people kind of went from A to Z, and then some of the responding emails were, oh my God, you know, we'd have to pay to have our bulk items carried off. Well, you know, if you're buying a new refrigerator or something and you got to get rid of something, I don't think it's unrealistic to say, well, hey, $25, $30, whatever it is.
And most of them pick it up anyway.
Right. The big appliances will take them. You know, like you said, carpeting and all the rest. It's a great service. Can you afford to continue to do it for, in a sense, nothing?
Well, reducing the frequency just so it's meaningful to get out there and go do it.
Exactly.
Makes complete sense.
And the brush, you know, that's a harangue, you know, for... You know, brush and bulk, but brush and garden waste and yard waste.
And we've made improvements in that area with what we've done down at the residential drop-off site. We're looking to make more improvements down there to make it wider, to add lighting, to pave it so that we're not out there every week backdragging because of the traffic. So, and that's open 24/7.
Okay. Yeah. So a question I would
have,
I think a warrants or conversation now.
Okay.
That's a big topic.
Okay.
And a good topic.
So we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion?
Yeah. Would it be, do you think an RFP is the best where there's factors aside from just the price or like an RFQ? Or maybe you guys do things differently here where you don't necessarily need like a scoring team and multiple factors to score an RFP?
We have put together an RFP. It's in draft form and ready to go.
Do you have a scoring team where people look at each proposal and score it in different categories?
I really don't know that we're
going to
do it like that. Outside of waste management and harders, I'm trying to think of who else is in the area. GFL, maybe. But those are the three. I don't know if you can think of any.
Or GAD.
GFL is... was formerly GAD.
Green for Life, GFL.
Great American Disposal.
It was that, yeah.
Okay, anything else? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed. Motion carried to recommend. All righty. On to new business, discussion action regarding recycling intergovernmental cooperative agreement.
I didn't come up on the laptop. A lot of information in the packet. Yearly basis, we apply for the DNR recycling grant. To be eligible for that, it requires an agreement with our neighboring communities. In this particular case, there's been a slight change. It requires a resolution from the village board. supporting collaborative efforts with our neighbors to outreach and educate residents about the need to recycle and how to properly do it. So the motion, I need a recommendation from the Public Works Commission, Public Works Committee, to the Village Board to move ahead with or to approve the resolution. With that, then I'll go ahead and submit the DNR recycling grant for
and this
next
is
year.
An annual kind of a thing.
It is, yeah.
So kind of a no-brainer.
I'll make that motion.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
I'd like to recommend to the board action regarding the recycling cooperative agreement. All right, moving on to item number 7, discussions report regarding local road improvement grant app or agreement for Green Ave.
Earlier this year, we were notified by the DOT that we had received a local road improvement program grant in the amount of $400,000 for Green Avenue. We had submitted this project. It was November, December last year. We had submitted the Green Avenue project for this grant end of last year. The project scope includes a reconstruction of Green Avenue from Libel to East River Drive, and it does include the installation of a rectangular flashing beacon at the intersection of Green and Webster Avenue. Included in the reconstruction project would be replacement of the failing pavement, improvements to the underground utilities and sidewalk, either on the south or north side, on one side of Green Avenue between Libel and East River Drive, and that would fill in a current gap that we have with the construction of sidewalk. We would have a continuous sidewalk from the park, Green Avenue Park, to Heritage Hill Park, and then from that point, a multi-use trail, for the most part, to the Fox River Trail, right? So that we're excited. We're going to put that money to good use. It is an expensive project because it is a reconstruct project. We, as of right now, we've tentatively scheduled this project for 2025. Next year, we do have a street reconstruct project. We just don't have the time to fit this the design of this project into those that we're going to reconstruct in 2023. 2024 wouldn't be a good year because we're going to be reconstructing Libel Street at that time. And we don't want to be reconstructing Libel and Green at the same time. It would be a mess. So we're proposing 2025. That hasn't been set in stone. I'll make that change to the CIP and bring it back to this committee. This is just an update. This item had been taken to the Village Board in August. So there's no action needed for this.
Do you mind me? Reconstruct this down curb.
It does.
Oh, it does? Curb and gutter? Okay.
Yeah.
And the flashing beacon will not be a hawk crossing per se, but more like the hospitals?
Yeah.
How about that?
Yes, it'll be similar to the flashing beacon that we have in Monroe. Riverside Drive, actually be that same type.
That would be a great improvement there. That's a tough corner. Yes. That's a tough corner to turn on, drive on to, and hopefully this will help.
I know Brad had probably been provided comments and concerns from residents before my time. I know when I started, it was right away I was told that we need to do something to that intersection to make it a safe crossing.
Yep.
So.
Cool. All right, moving on to item number 8. Report regarding engineering services for 2023 street and utility reconstruction project.
So this summer we had gone out with an RFP to 3 consultants to provide engineering services for next year's street reconstruct project. We had sent out an RFP to JT Engineering, Dean Hunt, Ari Smith. Shortly after that, JT Engineering came back and just said that they didn't have the availability. I had received a proposal from Mead & Hunt and Ari Smith, two consulting firms that I've worked with in the past and will continue to work with. Ari Smith had receive this contract or this engineering agreement for the reconstruction of streets in 19 and most recently in 2021. We had reviewed the proposals and we just felt, based on R.A. Smith's experience, and I know that there'll be challenges on R.A. On Roseland Boulevard, more so with the median, and we just thought that they were better suited for this project. And R.A. Smith's cost was slightly higher, but looking through the numbers, we thought me and Hunt's number on Roseland was about 10 to 15,000 lower than what it should have been. And with that, then it was, the numbers were for the most part the same. So we had elected to go with R.A. Smith. Our decision to do so was brought to the village board. They had approved that. Just recently, we had taken to them R.A. Smith's contract, and that had been approved as well. And I typically like to take these items through the Public Works Committee first, but there's a sense of urgency to get started with the topo and to get going on the design, because, to be competitive with pricing, we want to be getting these plans out in the middle of February. We just didn't have, I didn't have 4 weeks to wait to get your approval ahead of time. So the decision was made to bring it to the village board and then to bring an update back to this committee. R.A. Smith has since started. We had a kickoff meeting. We sent out letters to those that were directly impacted by the project, and they're all doing the topo now. So this is an update to the committee, and I'll continue to update you guys on this project moving forward.
All right, excellent. Moving on, report regarding amendment number 1 of Libel Street Engineering Agreement.
This has also been through Village Board and has been approved as well, because there was a sense of urgency to keep the design moving. And with getting sick in August, early middle part of August, there just wasn't time to circle back and to get your approval before Village Board. So we've been working on this amendment, and there's been a lot of back and forth with Strand. There's a three-party contract. We're in a three-party contract with the DOT, Strand, and Village of Alloway. There were a handful of changes to their original contract. I'll go through those briefly. But this started, I think, end of May, and there's been, like I said, a lot of back and forth. I haven't always agreed with their proposed amendment, and had been working with the DOT and Strand to find a common ground. We have done that. So one of the reasons for the amendment was there was a change in the pavement design report from Alloway on Martha Kalb. That has since been corrected. That was a result of, there was some lingo that had gone back and forth. I had always told them that the project was a mill and resurface, and they had indicated as a pavement replacement. And I just thinking that, our intent was to mill the pavement in full depth and repave it. Now, I was assuming that a pavement replacement meant the same, but it doesn't. A pavement replacement, it includes the asphalt pavement and the gravel below. And in my mind, that's a reconstruct. I don't know what in the DOT world what the difference between a reconstruct and a pavement replacement. I don't know, but learned something through that process. But we found common ground there, and when I told Strand, hey, our intent was clear from the beginning. I think it was on your end there was a mistake made, but we had with WSDOT's guidance, we found common ground there and said, let's go, it's good. South of Alloway Avenue, we'll be reconstructing the street between 172 and Alloway Avenue. And there was a shift made in the alignment to streamline things. Believe it or not, as when we got started with this, when I scoped this project, north of Alloway Avenue, it's more of a resurfacing type project. There were curb ramps that we had reconstructed in 2018 under the Webster Avenue Safe Route to School project. Come to find out, DOT and ADA standards have become even more restrictive with curb ramps. Those, a few of those that we had constructed out of that project have to be redesigned and reconstructed. I just thought that what we had done in 18 would suffice. No. The DOT required that an inspection form be filled out for each curb ramp, and in that process, Stram found that a handful of them need to be redesigned and reconstructed. That wasn't in their original contract. Strand's going to help with the layout of storm laterals between 172 and Alloway Avenue, and they're going to assist with the inspection of existing storm structures from Alloway Avenue north to Cobb, and we're doing that to one, review the existing condition and determine if any improvements are needed. If any improvements are needed, we'll work that into the plans. I think that the most expensive of the changes that were made that are included in this amendment were the encroachments that we had discovered, sidewalk encroachments that we discovered north of Alloway Avenue. We knew that there was sidewalk on private property. After further review, we found out there's more sidewalk on private property than initially discussed, but noted, I guess. Because of that, we're having to. It will impact the number of title searches we need and the preparation of the transportation project plan. We will be because of the amount of sidewalk that needs to be repaired out there because of defective reasons. We will be moving that sidewalk that is currently on private property into the street right away. So we'll avoid having to purchase fee right away or easements. We'll end up having to purchase a TLE for construction purposes, but that'll be cheaper than having to purchase right away. So all in total, the amendment amount is $57,700 and change. Increases the original engineering agreement cost to $590,000. We had received a Federal Surface Transportation Block Grant for this project, and it will reimburse the village up to 80% of the design and construction costs. So that's an update on that item.
Excellent. Thank you. Moving right along, item number 10, report of existing condition of St. Francis Drive, public utilities, Langley to Crescent.
So there's a reason why when we talk about the CIP, why we have on top of the CIP in bold letters, it's just the plan, and it's a fluid working document, and it can change at any time. Well, that became apparent, it wasn't last week, but I think the week before, we had back-to-back water main breaks on St. Francis Street. On top of that, we have a storm lead that's popping through the surface, and we have a sinkhole across the street. And this has been not so much the condition of the storm sewer, but the condition of the water main. This has been an ongoing theme that's been happening on an annual basis. We've had anywhere between 2 to 4 water main breaks on St. Francis Street. Believe it or not, this is not uncommon. We do have a handful of streets that, Karen is a good example of that. It's one of the streets that we have currently listed as a project being reconstructed next year. St. Francis Street is not far behind, of maybe in the same condition. It was a street project that we had noted off to the side on the capital improvement plan with the intent that we were going to continue to monitor conditions. And with what had taken place a couple of weeks ago, it may have moved this project up. And now we need to, you know, determine how are we going to address this street. And it is a somewhat lengthy street reconstruct project, and I'm thinking that it's a reconstruct project from Langlade Drive to Webster Avenue. But it could be broken into two phases, from Langlade to Crescent and Crescent to Webster. And it, it seems like these water main breaks, Ted, correct me if I'm wrong, you live on this segment, are occurring between Langley and Crescent, at least the larger majority of them.
The majority have been on that section.
On that segment.
Langley to Crescent.
So we've done some digging and have since put together scoping cost estimates for this project in two phases. And I haven't had a chance to look at the cost estimates, but I have dug into the year that the utilities were installed, when curb and gutter was placed, and when storm sewer was installed. And I have that here. Anyways, the water main and sanitary sewer was installed in the late 20s or early 1930s. The water main and sanitary sewer are at them or beyond their service life. The water main is cast iron pipe. We've been taking a proactive approach and trying to get that out of our system, because it's nothing but headaches, because it's a frail pipe that often breaks. The sanitary sewer, will get on the list to televise to look at the condition of that. I'm not aware of any issues, but we'll televise it. It's likely either clay or concrete pipe. Once we've televised it, we'll know the condition of it. Curb and gutter and storm sewer were installed in 1965. 1965, we came in and we installed storm sewer installed curb and gutter. I don't have a lot of information on what has taken place after 1965. I'm sure that I would think that we at some point had resurfaced that street, but it's in rough condition.
1965 didn't sound that long ago.
I am doing all I can to bite my lip here. So I don't want to be inappropriate. So just stay quiet.
We
happy to adjourn the meeting. We can all go for a drive on my street. But more than welcome.
And it will be evident really quick that you'll see the water main breaks that have occurred, because you'll see the patches. They're quite frequent. And we will be going out in the near future to address the sinkhole associated with the storm sewer. We're going to have to do something with the storm lead that is popping through the pavement. I wanted to, more than anything, provide a report to you on the condition of St. Francis Street, because we're going to have to come up with a way to get this inserted into our.
Right now, where is it on the 7-year plan? Is it 12? Long range plan?
Year 12.
It's not within the 5-year plan. It's off to the side of.
Well, that's not that far.
Included with a list of other street projects.
I'm bleeding. Okay.
So, it may be that we, our focus is on the segment between Lang Lane and Crescent, and there are other streets that we have to focus on as well. And come back at a later date to do the east half of the project. But there are some streets that come off of St. Francis that need to be improved as well. Crescent is a good example of that. No curb and gutter. The utilities probably went in at the same time, the 1930 time frame, and the street above was never improved with curb and gutter. So when we take on St. Francis Street, we're going to take on Crescent as well, probably.
And Crescent connects to Arrowhead?
Yes.
Exactly. That can occur to you.
Now, in 1994, we had reconstructed St. Francis from Riverside Drive to Ling Ling Court. Or the drive have?
St. Francis Drive, but to Ling Ling.
Did you take a court in there?
Yeah, it's Ling Ling. What did you call it?
I thought it was
Drive.
Drive.
Yeah.
I should know. It's from my backyard. I should know that.
So that segment of St. Francis Street was reconstructed in 94. The water main and the sanitary sewer replaced with PVC pipe, and I'm sure that's a
good one. It's actually Park Drive. So you got Langley Road and then Park Drive.
Yeah. Yeah, so from Riverside Drive through Park Drive up to Langley Drive, we had reconstructed that.
That's right. Followed very well.
Nice.
So that was an update. I guess I wanted to bring that to your attention, that we're going to have to, when we look at the CIP next group, we're going to have to keep that in mind.
Thank you, Sean. Well, moving on to number 11, TDS utility project and storm laterals.
So we've run into a challenge with the TDS project. When we met with TDS before they had started submitting permits for their project, we had made it clear to them that we have no good way of locating storm laterals. On our mapping, on our plans, on our records, the information shown.
Storm lateral, is this equivalent to, so what's the difference between a storm lateral and that? I thought we had those mapped out, but then it's the private residence that has a sump pump that's actually kicking into a line that they.
That's it.
That's the storm lateral.
The storm lateral carries clear water. Clear water. Your sanitary lateral, which is much deeper, carries your gray water, your wastewater. But yes, the storm lateral in general, it's relatively shallow, and it can be anywhere between 3 to 4 feet deep. Yes, and it runs from the main and the street. And typically it connects just outside of your house where your sump pump discharges. Also connected to that could be a yard drain or your roof leaders. Unfortunately, we don't have great records of that. And on our plans and on our maps, we show, in a lot of cases, we show the lateral, but it's not tied to any known points, so it can't be located in the field. And provided to a locator, they're not going to locate it. They're not going to take on the liability. They're not going to guess. In the event that they miss mark and it gets hit, they're not going to take on that liability. So we came, after permitting three projects and receiving a lot of phone calls, we had discovered that their contractor, TDS contractor, was not, well, first of all, the locator wasn't marking, and they weren't marking because they had no known point to measure off of, mark in the field. Because of that, the TDS contractor they weren't doing anything in the field to try to locate it. We had made it clear to TDS up front, and on every plan sheet, we provided a note. The note had said, village can't accurately locate storm laterals. Because of that, it is the contractor's responsibility to locate in the field, and they're to determine a method of doing that. And there are multiple methods that a contractor can use to locate a lateral. Well, they can televise the main to determine the location. They can use ground penetrating radar. If they know where, roughly speaking, where it's located, there are devices that can pinpoint the location. Third, they could fish something in that lateral at the house and locate it that way. But they were not doing anything at all.
I'm sorry, this was in the agreement that we had with them?
This was on the plan. It was just, you know, what do you want to call it? It was an expectation that we had that they would have to do that. So we, with that expectation, we went ahead and permitted three projects. In total, I think they're hoping to permit 12 or 15 projects. They call them DFNs, digital fiber networks. And I got to a point with the phone calls and what we had been witnessing in the field. I told TDS, I'm not going to approve any more permits. They had, not too long ago, recently submitted three additional projects for approval. I said no, and they said, well, we need to do something sooner. The contractor's going to leave town. And I said, I met with them. I sent them an email, multiple emails, made it clear to them that they needed to provide us they needed to come up with a solution to the problem. They had, we met in person and just said, I'm not going to approve any permits until you come up with a solution to this problem. That was made clear to them, and it, because of that, somebody up higher in the food chain will be meeting with us tomorrow, and hopefully they have a solution in mind.
Well, yeah, we're not the only community.
We're not, no. I mean, no, and...
So we're saying a solution for the laterals that they've already damaged, as well as...
Yes, that needs to be part of it.
when they have known they've hit one, they've repaired, but it's the ones we don't know if they hit.
So we're working through that, and I won't approve anymore.
Because there are plenty of homeowners that have no idea where those laterals are.
Right. We don't know if they've been compromised. And I made it clear to them that they need to present a solution, and then I'll bring it back to this committee, and then ultimately to the village board to determine if that solution is acceptable to the village. In other communities, up front I said, well, why don't you televax? And I had heard that they were doing that, and they had done that in Appleton, and they just point blank told me if we have to televise because of the cost, we may just abandon the project altogether. Oshkosh told them, this is what I've since heard, that Oshkosh told them that they had to televise, and they're abandoning that project in Oshkosh because of that cost. But there are other technologies that they could use to do a better job of locating these laterals in the field. They need to present one to us, and then they have to follow through. So when I have that information, I'll bring it back.
As far as possible damage that we don't know about, people may not know for years, or
and then exactly
until you just start getting a sinkhole in your lawn, or
yep. And I don't want to be left with that, having to deal with that. And I've indicated, you know, that they'll come back. I'm like, how do I know you're going to be in business? How do I know you're not going to be bought out by somebody 2 to 3 years from now? So
especially in that business. All right. Anything else? Thanks for all your hard work on that. I'm sure it's not a lot of fun. Number 12, report regarding the 2022 construction project.
This is mainly a report just on the Dolly Safer North School project.
Before we move on to that, can
you go back?
Sure. Real quick. As we're finding more and more of these laterals, are we marking them somewhere officially moving forward, or?
They were asked to locate them on the as-builts.
Yes.
In the field.
Right, but so are we going to have official record of where these laterals are for the next 30 years so at least we know and we don't run into this problem again? Or
yeah.
As we're going?
You know, to answer your question, as Brad mentioned, when they complete a DFN or a project, that they provide us an as-built of what they had just installed. Mm-hmm. Of I don't know how they're doing it, if they're using a handheld GPS or if they're actually surveying the actual location in the field. But we're going to get that information so that we can bring it into our mapping system. So we'll know if I get a call that, and we're noting that in a spreadsheet, the different areas of the valley. But if I get a sinkhole call from a homeowner that they have a sinkhole, I'll go and we'll go into our mapping to look at, okay, where have private utilities been installed just recently, and we'll be able to turn that layer in, and it will be specific to a utility company, in this case TDS. I'll be able to I'll bring that information up and see it, and I'll know, well, seems to be in line with where TDS had placed their utility. And I hope we're making, you know, once those repairs are made, there have only been a handful of them that have come forward, that have occurred, I would hope that we're going out there and making measurements so that we can accurately mark that lateral future.
I think that's what we are, right?
I thought MCE was...
It's only been about a half dozen, and if not, I'll ask MC just to make sure. I think we are, but I want to verify that.
I mean, what better opportunity would we have to
correct
this moving forward so we're not having the same conversation in 40 years?
Well, that's going to be be a challenge moving forward. And one of the things that was brought up was, well, maybe we share in the televising of our storm sewer. We share in that cost so that we can accurately mark or locate on our plan the location, and they're televising the main, not only the main, they're launching up in the laterals to make sure that in the process of installing their lateral, they didn't compromise somebody's laterals. To televise, you're looking at probably $400,000 to do the entire village, if not more. That's probably a good estimate, about $400,000. We don't have, even if we were to share that, we don't have the money to participate in that kind of effort.
I guess let's say at the very least, let's make sure we're done.
Yeah, we will
accurately.
Yeah.
They come across more when we.
No, we do.
They're telling us when they make a repair, right?
Yes, yes.
So that way we can go out there and measure and we know exactly what it is.
We're typically the first ones called when that happens.
Okay. Cool. Resident,
so.
That's better than nothing.
All right, on to the project update.
Yeah. So we had three projects, construction projects this year. We had a street resurfacing project that has since been completed. We had made a repair to a 14-inch water main just north of 172 between Webster Avenue and Beaumont. That work has since been completed, and we're wrapping up the work, currently wrapping up the work on the Doty Safe Out to School project. The sidewalk has been constructed.
Looks good.
Thank you.
All landscaping done.
And the landscaping has been completed. Now we've been fortunate that Mother Nature has given us a hand and getting the grass to come up. So it is actually starting to shape up nice out there. And every time I go out there to look at the vegetation, I see people using the sidewalk, so it's great.
That's
so
nice.
Other than weaving through the parked cars.
At the driveways, yeah.
That is a great... that road's pretty wide, but a lot of times there's parallel parking on both sides, and then it shrinks down, so the sidewalk, great improvement.
Yeah, we got a lot of... I've received some compliments. Brad probably has as well. So.
Nice.
That's it.
Cool. Anything else? Oh, which court was it that there was talk of street light?
Yeah, that hasn't come back.
Okay.
She had indicated to me that she wanted to talk to her neighbors about cost, and she would let me know when she wanted that item on the agenda, and she's never gotten back to me. I don't know if she'd reach out.
Is that the topic from one of them?
Cul-de-sac
or something?
Okay. Right. Yeah, street light. Cool. Anything else for the good of the order here? If not, I'll entertain the motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
And a second.
Second.
All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
6:30-ish. Meeting adjourned.
Sorry, I was a few minutes late.
No problem.